The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I can't believe for some reason our phone's not working, so we have to call Bruce, the very funny Bruce.
Oh, darn.
Hello.
Well, hello, Bruce. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show.
Let's go. How you doing?
What's up? I'm doing good. Man, the hardest interview to ever get done. He's calling us. I'm like, I don't know what's happening here. My Lord have mercy. But anyway, here you are on the phone. How are you, sir?
I am good. I thought something was wrong with the phone, or maybe you didn't pay the whole bill. Yeah, you
know, somebody didn't pay the bill.
Not, yeah, you put something on it, you know.
Bruce, not everybody's getting Netflix checks, sir. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe I said, well, maybe they put a little bit on it and didn't put enough. You know how it is.
I do know how it is, Bruce.
You know
it's sad.
It
I know
it
is.
The hood.
Yeah, that's,
my mother say, how much can I put on it to keep it on?
Yeah, that's all I need. I got 20. I know it's 80. I'll give you 60 next week, okay? I know this language.
The past due amount.
Yeah, speaking of Netflix, I meant that when I said about the check. I ain't playing. Can I be serious with you? So Bruce is rich. Let's just be real. Did you ever think back in... You're working for, I don't know, Frito-Lay or doing whatever.
Life before comedy.
Yeah. Did you ever think at that time you would be right here where you are? Or did you always know it would be?
No. I never thought this for one minute. I never thought, I'm going to get rich doing this. I never thought. What I thought was, I'm doing comedy. I love doing comedy. And I just enjoyed doing it. Mm-hmm. And it was not work to me. I was having fun. And guess what? I started making money. I'm like, you know what? I think this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah, there's nothing like doing what you love and getting paid for it, and especially entertaining people and having fun while you're doing it, earning a living.
Absolutely.
And it's been quite a few decades that you've been able to pull it off.
You've been successful for a minute now.
Yeah.
No, man, I've been doing it now for 36 years.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
This is my first special I did in almost 16 years. And
whoa.
It's been 16 years since I've done a special, but I've been touring the whole time. But I decided I'm going to do a special, but I knew when I do this special, when I come out with it, it's got to be right. And let me tell you, this Netflix special I ain't playing. Is on top of his game. It's really good.
Oh, we see it in the top 10 consistently.
I've already watched it.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's worth a watch.
Oh, it's
very,
definitely
very
worth a watch. If you love the comedy, and the thing with you, Bruce, is you're very much a storyteller. You take us on a journey, which I think in itself is a, in my opinion, is my favorite kind of comedy. It's different than just telling a joke.
It is. And, you know, I used to come out like a machine gun. They gotta hit you with 20 jokes in 20 minutes. Mm. But I tell these stories when I'm not on stage, and my manager like, you need to tell these stories. They're really good and rich. So I started telling the stories, and it's working really good.
You know, one of my favorite storytellers of all time, and I think you knew him, Charlie Murphy.
Charlie was the best at it.
What was he like? Like when you, because everybody talks about Eddie, and Eddie, you know, says my brother Charlie was so incredibly talented. What was he like to be around in person? Were you close with him?
Very close. Charlie was a good guy, ex-military. People didn't know that though. Charlie was ex-military.
Wow.
And I was in the Army, you know, Salvation Army, but I didn't do all that part. You know, I was in the Salvation Army. And
you served nonetheless, sir. You served nonetheless. Anyway.
Only thing I did was ring the bell in front of Walmart.
That's all I did.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
But people don't know that, but Charlie Murphy, it started out as Eddie Murphy's bodyguard.
Yeah.
And people don't know that. That was his personal bodyguard. But Eddie kept telling me you need to go on stage because Charlie was really funny. And he tell the best stories. And he was really good on the Dave Chappelle Show. He was really good.
Oh, those stories. You just talked about that. That's what you do so well is you tell stories. That's what Dave did so well. He brought those stories to life. I actually got to introduce Charlie Murphy at one of his last comedic performances. Nobody knew he was sick. And it wasn't but a couple months after that we lost him, actually. It was pretty shocking. Mm-hmm. For you personally, you know, you being from Atlanta, you've got all these ties with different artists. You've been featured. We're talking You're in the roots. You are
might as
in
well
community.
Be a part of Outkast.
You might as well
point.
Be a part of Outkast. Do you know T.I. well?
I know him very well. I mean, T.I. is like my little, he's like my little brother, like Outkast. I'm like my little brother.
Okay.
That's why I'm in so much stuff that they be in, because I'm the big brother, and I'm the one be thinking, hey, man, don't do that. Do this and make it happen. Mm. So I make him do the right thing. Like I was guided, you know, by my man, Mr. John Witherspoon. You remember John Witherspoon?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
He came to me and he told me how to do this and how to do that. Also, Ronaldo Ray, who's my co-host on BET Comic View, he guided me the right way. And Paul Mooney. We talk about some
great
guys.
Oh, my gosh. Paul Mooney.
Superstars.
Yeah, that was in my life. That was in my life. And say, hey, you're going to be okay. You're funny. You're going to make it. And I just kept going.
But what in the world is going on with T.I. and 50 Cent? Bruce, you got to help these men. These are grown men.
I don't know what's going on with it. You know what? I don't know what's going on with it, but I think 50 Cent met his match with T.I.
I will say this is the first time that someone's gone head to head with 50 and has not been knocked out. And by the way, that would be a good versus. And by the way, T.I.'s got a new hit. 50 Cent hasn't had a hit record in a minute.
He hadn't had a hit record, but do y'all remember the rapper Lil Flip?
Of course.
Yes.
Game
of
over.
Of course,
okay.
Yeah.
T.I. shut him down.
Yes.
That's
he
true.
Did.
He shut him down. He shut him down.
I didn't
so
even
I'm going to let you know.
That. I think
you got to go on and get it together.
I love Lil Flip. He's a good person. But I think what
I
shut him down
too.
Was when he said, I treat you like milk and spoil you. That line right there, it just didn't sit right with me even now, Bruce. He
Boy,
shut himself down.
And also, Lil Flip can box.
I better watch it.
You know, if they ever go toe to toe, I think they'll be in trouble with Lil Flip because he can box.
And Flip is bigger than T.I. and 50 Cent put together. The man is huge.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to go. You do not want to go there. I mean, when it comes to acting versus stand-up, because you've done it both, which is your favorite? Would you rather be behind the camera filming or on stage in front of...
Like doing movies, I'd rather do stand-up. Movies is good, but they always say action, then you do action, then you do action about 42 times, the same line, you're doing the same thing, and then they say, great, and then you look at the movie and they don't even use it. Like, what did I do all this for?
Why did you say great? And I got edited out in the editing room.
Edited out, you know what I'm saying?
Cause, that's funny.
Because, you know, when I was a stripper, you know, I didn't want to tell nobody this. Yeah, my stage name was Hard Candy.
Hard Candy?
Hard Candy. I was giving it to him. I'm telling you, I was giving it to him. And I made a lot of money, but... the church members came down hard on me about that. You know, they told me I shouldn't be stripping and doing this stuff. But the thing that pissed me off about the church members, they was at my show. Why were you at my show and tell the pastor that I'm not stripping? That is not right.
You know why? Because they, no matter what, the church wanted that 10% tithing. Whether they don't care where the money comes from, Bruce.
Bruce.
They don't care. But the pastor told me I need to stop, so I had to stop stripping.
Bruce. Now that we're in the weeds about your stripper history, recently the Atlanta Hawks tried to do the Magic City theme night. How do you feel about that? Should that be allowed in the NBA?
Man,
or
you know what? I thought it was great, but I think they canceled it though.
They did cancel it yesterday.
I don't know why we could have did the Magic City. I mean, I've been in Magic City plenty of times. I have sent a few girls to college. I know I have. You know, I'm not going to even lie. I have sent several women
the
to
Bruce,
college.
The Bruce Scholarship from Magic City. You know why they made it stop? Your pastor told you not to strip. You cannot, Bruce. Look, I've been to Magic City too. Don't tell anybody, okay? Quiet.
Okay.
It's just between us. But you can't do that. It's NBA. It's families, little girls there. And, you know, I support all my ladies. Do whatever you got to do. But come on, you know?
No, we need stuff like that. We need it. And keep us healthy.
Dancing's good for the heart.
It is. I don't go to strip clubs anymore. So, I'm married now. So,
yeah.
I just go home. I tell my wife, I have to put your clothes on. And she said, for what? And I give her some money. I said, take them off.
Now give me my money back.
Yeah. You save money at the strip club. You get married. That's where you really spend the money.
Oh, my goodness. That's where the money come in at.
Yeah, for real.
Speaking of money, I saw that you have a Buick you collect Buicks. You have a that you
I
have.
I collect Buicks, man. Yeah.
What? So how many Buicks do you have?
I have 10. I have 10 Buicks. I have they showroom now. These are not nothing. I kind of like this drive. No, I don't leave them nowhere. The showroom condition. I got a 63 Ribby Era. I have a 69 Ribby Era GS. I have a 70 Ribby Era GS. I have a 70 Wildcat convertible. I have a 65 Skylark GS. I have a 68 Skylark GS convertible. Wow. I have a 68 Skylark hardtop 6-speed. It had a 4-speed. Put a 6-speed in it. I have a 68 Deuce and a quarter. These are all showroom conditions.
Oh, wow.
Now, they must be worth a lot of money.
I used to have a 73 Buick Century.
Yeah,
I had one. I had it on mag wheels. Had it. It was dropped.
It was not showroom ready.
It was not showroom quality. It had a nice paint job and stuff, but it was not showroom quality. No.
Yeah, but then the seat in that car looked like the living room sofa in your head.
It did. There'd be three people in the front seat.
Otto said he pushed the gas. You could hear the CD player go.
Oh yeah. I had a buddy had a 68 electric 225 like mine, and we all four of us get in the front seat.
You
we get in the back seat. We just make people laugh. I said, let's everybody get in the front seat, and we get in the front seat, and everybody like, why are y'all riding in the front seat?
Because we can.
Exactly.
Bruce, was the first car you ever got or on your own, was that showroom condition, or how was that car?
Absolutely not, man. I needed it. When I tell you this car was so raggedy, it did not have a friend in Jesus. You hear me? You know the song, What a Friend We Have in
Yes.
Jesus?
Yes.
This car did not have a friend in Jesus. It didn't have a friend in Jesus, I'll tell you the truth.
No, but who but rich people have like a good first car? My first car, I used to close the door, and I don't know what one from the ceiling would just fall all over me. It was like
asbestos.
Asbestos and whatever used to come down on me. Yeah, I think I had an Oldsmobile back in the day. Buick, do they still make? Yeah, they make Buick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good car. Yeah, it's a good car right there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they still making Buicks today. They stopped making Oldsmobile.
Yeah, that's because Oldsmobile, they didn't do like Bruce. Bruce reinvents himself, and Oldsmobile did not.
I did.
When are you going to be in Houston, Bruce?
I'm coming to Houston in November of this year. I'll be at the Houston Improv.
I would love to have you in the studio. We're in Houston. We're nationally syndicated, but we're in Houston now. You came to see us in Phoenix, but I'm serious. I would love to have you come in the studio.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I come down there, I come in a day early just to do your show.
Let's do it. Let's get you on. And I want to thank you. And I want to congratulate you because I ain't playing. Like, it's just such a success. People long for this kind of comedy, this storytelling, the greatness, and just continued success to you, Bruce. We're so just happy and delighted to have you on the show.
I appreciate that very much.
And see you in November.
I'll be there.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.